Morning all, Tuesday, June 21, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. A very good morning to you, wherever you're listening, and the Origin build-up is in full swing heading towards Game 2, Sunday night in Perth. The Blues trying to keep the series alive and the mass changes being discussed at length. And yesterday, well, the 1-17 was confirmed, and certainly the big story, Appy Korosau set to start in the number 9 jersey. Our man Cookie moves to the bench in the 14 jersey. Seven Penrith players in the starting side for the Blues. Morning to you, Loza. Look, Appy Korosau in at 9. Cookie to the bench. I mean, at face value, you probably think Cookie's been demoted, but I think this is very much tactical, isn't it?
Oh, it seems as though it will be, Mitto. New South Wales, and good morning, by the way. New South Wales were dominated through the middle of the park in game one with the two-pronged attack from Queensland, and they're looking to counter that by having Cookie and Korosau working in tandem together. So it's not a bad idea. They've got to be able to generate that ruck support, and they'll be able to do that a couple of ways. Obviously, support play will be spoken about big this weekend in camp. But, yeah, you can see Cookie having an influence on this game if it's a similar style that we saw out there at a Accor Stadium a couple of Wednesdays ago, because it was such a fast-paced game. If it's played similarly, you can see Cookie coming off the bench, tied defenders, and really causing some mayhem. So they've thought long and hard about this change. Korosau comes in. He's got a better combination with Nathan Cleary and Jerome Luai, so that will help them get forward. It'll also help the service because they know how to receive the ball and what they want. So tactically, a good move, but again, you know, some people say it's got that Penrith feel to it. And if you're Queensland, you're looking at that team and that's exactly what you're thinking. This is a club team. This is Penrith. This is a club team. So it could work against them in that regard.
Morning to you, pup. You made your feelings well known on the changes yesterday. But what about this one? Our man Cookie on the bench.
Yeah. Morning, boys. Morning to our listeners. I feel like I'm the world's greatest skeptic at the moment. Yet, and I can guarantee I am going for New South Wales. I just feel like we are trying to copy Queensland. Like in the first game, we're worried about their tall wingers, so we went and picked a tall winger, left Adokar out. Now we're looking at how Queensland played with the two dummy halves and the impact they had off the bench, and we're trying to do the same thing. We're not Queensland. I don't understand why for the first time in ages we're saying we have to copy them, or we have to worry about what they're doing to try and combat it. Yet I thought New South Wales and Brad Fittler, have one of our strengths has been we're just going to worry about our own backyard, do what we need to do, pick what we feel is the best team, play the brand of footy that we feel is the best for us, for our style, and we will beat Queensland. Yet first game, we're worried about their tall winger or tall wingers, so we made that change. Then we watched the first game. We worried about the impact of the two hookers. So now we've gone and picked two hookers. I don't know. And you know, again, it'll be judged by results. Maybe it's super smart by Brad Fittler. But I get a sense that we're so worried about that. And this is the Billy Slater impact, I reckon. I reckon Billy Slater has just added some extra pressure because he's new. There's so many unknowns. And then he's gone and played his coach the way he's coached in that first game. And I feel like we are chasing Queensland. We are chasing our own tail. And that has not been the way New South Wales has had success in any sport.
Well, you look at Queensland's side, their only two changes are forced due to injury. But Loz, to Clarkie's point, when you first looked at the fact we're picking two hookers, I thought the same thing. Like, coaches never admit that, you know, they follow the lead of the opposition. But, you know, let's face it, it worked so well for Queensland in game one, the Ben Hunt-Harry Grant combination. But when I thought about it a bit more, and Brad Fittler's talked about the versatility of the side he's picked, the fact he's got Burton there in the centres, we know that, well, he could play that, could have been that 14 role, but you put him in the centres and can cover at halfback. And then you've got someone like Talakai on the bench who can cover on an edge or out in the centres or even in the middle.
Yeah. Look, when I see this side as being a more balanced side than game one. I think I said that yesterday. To me, when I look at it, I can see the balance in it. I can see how everyone gets into the contest, how you can fit everyone in if there's an injury or someone gets a head knock. I actually can see where they go, where they fit into the puzzle. yes, it's a concern that we're trying to follow Queensland's blueprint. The other thing is you're unsure at times how the game's going to unfold. That's the other thing. So with both teams talking about the importance of the ruck and New South Wales saying that we were too clean in game one, well, Queensland will be sitting back saying, well, boys, we can't be too clean now. We can't just jump off the ruck in game two and make it a fast game. We want to try and slow it down. If New South Wales are trying to slow it down, what's the referee going to do? Because he let it flow in game one. And it was, if New South Wales didn't stay on, that's their fault. They should have adapted early. And that should have been, you know, sent down to the players early on that they were allowing a little bit extra in the tackle. So test the referee's patience. See what he's going to allow. And then we'll work back from that, which they didn't do. So if we're going to get a game where it's all about wrestle and all about slowing down the ruck, there could be a lot more penalties in this game. He might have to blow. And then it'll be a stop-start game. And then if it's a stop-start game, you don't get that fatigue factor. And if you don't get the fatigue factor, the dummy halves won't have the same impact that they had in game one. So it's all this unknown. And again, I'm just fascinated to see how it's all going to unfold because, you know, you've got eight guys from the starting 13 of Penrith side that won the grand final last year. Matt Burton is not playing for Penrith this year, but he was there in the grand final last year. Eight starting players from that side. And again, if you're Queensland, you're sitting there looking at them, you see it as a Penrith side. You're not looking at it as a state of origin side. You're saying, listen, the bulk of this team is Penrith. And they would have done so much homework on Penrith, what their attack is like, and they could sit there and come up with a plan to try and stop it. And while club sides haven't been able to stop Penrith, you know, when you're putting the likes of Munster, Cherry Evans, Ponga together, along with, you know, Hunt and Kafusi and a lot of these Melbourne players that have had a bit of success against Penrith, you know, they wouldn't be quaking in their boots, so to speak. Mm. It's a different New South Wales side to what it was, say, last year when you look at it and you've got Tom and Latrell and these type of blokes.
It's been a constant theme since game one from at least the New South Wales side is talking about, you know, pushing the boundaries. Brad Fittler has said, you know, we didn't play on the edge enough in game one. Last night on NRL 360 on Fox League, Greg Alexander, Blues advisor / assistant, he said the Blues played too nice in game one and indicated they'd pushed the boundaries more in Perth. So you might be right, Loz. This might be more stop-start. I mean, it comes down to the official, of course, at the end of the day and whether they'll put the whistle in the pocket.
Well, they won't put the whistle in the pocket if it's slow. They won't do it. They won't allow, and they'd be speaking about it this week. You reckon they're not going to speak about it this week, the referees, after hearing those comments from Brandy? Of course they're going to discuss it because he'll be saying, if they are lying on early, blow penalties. Blow penalties. And that will try and keep them apart. And if that doesn't work, continue to do it. But don't let it become a slug feast where you just it's a real slow contest. Because that doesn't work in New South Wales' favour either. I think a fast game helps New South Wales.
Lots of Tigers news as well. Not the first time we've said that, pup, to say the least. But James Hooper on Fox last night has reported Luke Brooks is set to be dropped for the first time in his career for their next game. So this is a big call from an interim coach of all, considering all the coaches that Brooks has had over his time there at the Tigers. So Brett Camorley, according to this report from James Hooper, is set to make the call to drop Luke Brooks. And, well, it's been a topic of discussion a lot over the last 3 years on this show, but you wonder whether this might be it at long last for Brooks at the Tigers.
Yeah, I think Brooks has copped so much criticism. And look, he hasn't played his best footy over the past couple of years, to be honest. But I think because of how much he's being paid, the position he plays in, the success or lack of success that the Tigers have had over a long period of time, unfortunately, when you are one of the big fish in the team, you know, you cop the brunt of it. And I think this is another one of those situations. He certainly hasn't been our worst player. I reckon there's five players you could drop in front of Luke Brooks looking at the way we've played this season, at least. I'm just picking a number. It could be 10, but let's say there's five to be polite. But at the end of the day, it seems like Brett Camorley and really the club is at a stage where they're saying, you know what, we've just got to try something else. So, you know, if it's Luke Brooks sit out for a game, two games, whatever it is, then we've got nothing to lose now. I think, you know, Loz has said it a number of times as well. I think the problem with Brooks is they're uncertain where to play him. I think they've given him a good crack at seven. He's played better at six with Hastings being there, but I'm still not convinced he's not a better number nine than seven and six. But, yeah, right now, mate, unfortunately, for every single individual player, I think you take your hit now. The performances this season haven't been good enough. And something's got to give. So unfortunately for Brooksy, he's going to be the scapegoat in this coming game, that's for sure.
And you know what I hope? And good work to the journos, if it's correct too, by the way. That's their job to find the scoop. But you'd like to think that Brooks knows that he's been dropped. He just hasn't heard about it.
Yeah, you don't want to find
because
out.
Because that'll say a lot about the club as well.
Yeah, especially, and again, no matter how he's played or no matter what you think, he's been there for a long time. He has been loyal to the club. He has given it all he's got. I think you're right, Loz. This is where the integrity of, you know, the club is so important to have sat with him one-on-one and had that tough conversation. It's not an easy convo. But you'd like to think that there has been a one-on-one conversation letting him know that for whatever reason, we're making this call for this week, and then it gets out to the media. Not the other way around. Today to have the convo. Yeah. That's fire. That's horrible. If that's the case, mate, that is disgraceful. He's been at the club for long enough and deserves the respect that this tough conversation has happened in private before anybody else has known.
And you've mentioned it before. Now that Adam Dewey's back, you try everything. Maybe you try Luke Brooks at nine with Dewey and Hastings in the halves. You've got to have a crack.
You have to have a crack.
Yeah, and we've got nothing to lose.
I'd be playing Brooks at nine, just seeing how he goes. Mm. Just giving him there a consistent run, letting him have a crack with Dewey and Hastings in the halves now with Dane Laurie. I think that's certainly three of those positions, the Dewey, Hastings and Dane Laurie, I think that's where they wanted to play them if they were all fit at the start of the year.
Yeah.
Brooks was probably that bloke coming off the bench or that number nine. I just look at Luke Brooks and give him a chance now at number nine and say, you've got a month, show us what you got. He might be a revelation there.
Yeah. Well, as you know, the other thing, and we talk about it all the time in all sport, like it's okay to drop someone, but you've got to have someone better to replace them as well.
Yeah.
So as critical as we want to be about Luke Brooks, is there someone better to come in and play that if it's number nine or if it's number 14. In this case now, if Dewey's back, well, maybe we're saying, yep, there is at number six, so he moves from there. But is there someone better at 14? Is there someone better at nine to take Brooksy's spot, to have him out of the 17? It's a big call. But like I said, at the end of the day, the Tigers are at a stage now where, you know what, go for your life. It doesn't matter. Like, you got to try everything, really. Because what they're doing is not working.
Mountain High, origin of Panthers dominance, as we spoke before. So they're going to have nine, because you include Kirk Capel over at Queensland. And obviously Burton, and now the Dogs, and the seven current Panthers players. They're going to have nine players from last year's grand final side, Penrith, starting in Origin on Sunday night. That is extraordinary. Well, it goes, as the Telegraph says here, that's equal with the Storm had nine, out of the Storm 2007, grand final side, which was an illegal side, by the way. 1997, the Broncos. 1993, the Broncos also had nine the following year.
Oh, it's a great achievement, and it just shows you their dominance over the last 3 years. But, you know, when you look at it, if Mitchell and Trbojevic were there, they'd be the centre. So, you know, two of those players from last year's grand final side wouldn't be there. You know, Coruscant missed out in game one, so if Cookie was still there. So, but I understand why, you know, Fittler's gone with Coruscant to start, because in game one, you know, we'd lack that crispness out of dummy half. He's got a wonderful combination with the Penrith boys. Their attack flows really well, and it starts from Coruscant. And if they're not getting the ball that they need or want, it will stifle their attack. So that's another reason why he's decided to go with Appy, plus the fact that Cookie coming on will certainly, if it's a fast-paced game, if Cookie's coming on and there's fatigue in the game, like there was in game one.
Suit him to the ground.
It will. Oh. You would think it would suit him.
Now, your texts here, and keep them coming, 0419 767 272. Not copying Queensland, Clarkie. Panthers have been the best team in the last 3 years with 7 Penrith players plus Burton. The winning culture will flourish. Blues 2-1 with big scores, says Pola from Balgowlie.
Well, I hope so, but New South Wales are not Penrith, or Penrith are not New South Wales. And unfortunately, even the best club teams in the world, it's a different level as you go up. And it's great that they've got so many players. They deserve to be selected. But that's all I'll say. And again, I know nothing about footy, but I do know something about sport. At the highest level, that's not club.
And you got plenty of support, though, here, Clarkie. Bravo, Clarkie. Scary when you're the one making the most sense when it comes to rugby league. Freddie just copying Queensland's game one tactics and picking all these Panthers players is just him hoping he can jump on the Panthers winning bandwagon, says Chapo. Also, this one, agree with your pup. We're panicking for two reasons. No Tommy T and Latrell. And we got 14 wrong. No name to that one. G'day, fellas. Is Fittler's job in jeopardy? If New South Wales lose this game, I think he made a few selection mistakes in game one, which to me is ridiculous when you have 12 months to get it spot on, says Aaron.
Loz, I think the other thing, what we have seen is how much we do miss those two players. And again, we talk about how brilliant Latrell and Tommy T are, but I think we're actually seeing the amount of impact or lack of impact without those two players. And it's only been one game as well, right? But still, having those two in your team before you even run out onto the field, what it does for everyone else's confidence and what it does for the opposition, what's in their head when they're on the field.
Yeah, and you make a good point. It's about what they do throughout the week. It's about when you're leaving the dressing shed, when you look around to your team, mates, and you see them two standing in your team, and then you know what they bring to a game. You know what their ability's about. You know that they can score tries. You know they can set up tries. And they're freakish, big men who
can pull off
a big play when it's required.
Yeah. Even defence-wise, like some of the stuff they did last year in defence, big hits, knock the ball loose, whatever it is, that's your, you know, in my sport, that's your Shane Warne or your Glenn McGrath or these days a David Warner, someone that the talent is so skillful that they can, in that moment, they can change a game.
They break a game open for you. You could be 6-6, and next thing you know, a Tom or a Latrell does something to get you on the front foot. And then that one bit of play can spark you into action, and then you may be able to get another try off the back of it, and it just opens the game right up for you. That's what they provide to a footy team.
Also, this one. Hey boys, I can't understand why Fittler is rewarding Tupou on the wing for solid performances. We need some class to win the series. Adokar is class. He's lost the plot, Fittler. No name to that one. Morning boys, all the Origin chat. I think the Cook was actually two steps too slow in giving the halves early ball in game one, and think the Coruscant selection will speed us right up and gives the halves more time. Cookie off the bench and it's an X factor. Love it. Penrith has been the most dominant for 2 years. Why wouldn't you pick them? No name to that one as well. But also on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald, on me to fix it. Cleary doesn't expect referee to bail him out is the headline there. And Nathan Cleary being asked yesterday whether, you know, basically he'll get some help from the referee after he was heavily targeted. I think he had the most pressures of any halfback this year, if you look at club footy as well. But he naturally said he's not going to be preparing for the referee all of a sudden, Ashley Klein, to start blowing penalties.
No, but they'll have worked on options this week. They'll know exactly what they're going to do if they're under the pump. And if they're playing on the front foot, they won't need to go to those options at times. But they'll be two pass kicking. Burton will kick down, you know, short sides. They'll have Burton coming infield if they're stuck coming out of trouble. All these type of things they would have worked on. You know, they might even look to move the ball a little bit more from inside their own half so they just don't go one out and get stuck with no momentum. They'll try and get momentum early in the contest by moving the ball to the space when Queensland can press their defence and then try and roll through the middle. So there's ways to counter kick pressure. But I think we went in there with a plan, and we didn't have a plan B, or we didn't fall back on that plan B, because Cleary did all the kicking. I think he may have shared it once or twice.
Once.
Once, yeah. There wasn't
Loz,
too many
what do
other
you
options.
Think if you're coaching against a team, call it Queensland, and they were to make this amount of changes, what would you be thinking as the opposition coach? Are you doing what you're doing now, looking at the team and going, well, even though they've made seven changes, you still think it's a stronger or a more balanced team? Or are you thinking, you know what, the fact they've had to make seven changes, whatever we've done, we've caused some ruckus here?
Good question. I'm just trying to think. I think I always had the team that I wanted first up.
Yep.
I picked the team that I thought could win.
Yep.
And then you try and look at what the opposition might throw at you and then work out plans around trying to stop that.
Yeah, okay.
And where your in best
with,
threats are.
With selection or with style of play?
Nah,
or both?
No, because you don't know what they're going to pick.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when I was probably coaching, you probably did sort of know who they were more than likely going to pick. But
yep.
For us, it was about coming up with a plan on how to play and then how to nullify Queensland once you knew they were in the team. And it's always good in theory. That's the other thing. It's always good in theory. You can come up with the best plans. But it's under fatigue, and when you're out there against the best, when they're playing at the top of their game, trying to stop it, it's just difficult.
Also on the back page of the Herald, AFL, Swans keen to take risk on new deal for Buddy. So this is an interesting one for the Swans because he's at the last year of his deal. He wants to play on. The Swans would love to keep him, but the question is, how do you value Buddy Franklin now? I mean, he's kicked 29 goals in 11 games this year, and his value is still, well, it's still obvious, but it's got to all add up. At the end of the day, you're taking a gamble, aren't you? A player who's had recent injury history. He's been pretty good since he came back from that serious hamstring injury of, what, 18 months or so ago. But it all comes down to the price.
Do the AFL put a notional value on a player like Buddy Franklin, or can, say, the Swans sign him and put him in a salary cap for $250,000?
I'm not sure. I think the AFL does have a notional
value. They have a notional value. So depending on what the notional value is, because he's been earning over $1 million a season. So I'm assuming you can't just re-sign Buddy on $200,000. I'm assuming you'd have to put him in your salary cap at a decent whack. So depending on where he fits in, but if he's fit, he's healthy, he's playing good footy at the end of the year, and both parties, well, in particular, if Buddy feels like he can get going again and play football next season, you'd be mad not to sign him. But again,
how old is he, Mido?
The price.
36. This article in the Herald says the average price, the average salary for an AFL player excluding rookies is $389,000.
Average.
That's the average price.
Good coin.
Outside of a rookie.
So how many rookies, though? Well, yeah. I'm putting you on the spot here now. But, I mean, that's they carry... How many... They carry 40 players in a squad, don't they? So that's a lot more... I know AFL... NRL average wage is not that high. Mm. Nowhere near it.
Sorry, Buddy will be 36 next year. He's 35 now.
It's his body and the money that you can afford to pay him, because you can't afford to pay him $1 million. But if you can pick up Buddy for 350, why wouldn't you roll the dice? Different if you've got to pay him $1 million.
Buddy, take 350. What if someone down in Victoria goes, we'll pay you 500,000?
Well,
no, he's not changing clubs now, surely.
No, he's staying here.
He's a Swan, or he's hanging him up.
His
life set here. I reckon he's a Swan, or he's hanging him up. I reckon it comes down to, does he want to keep playing footy? Does he want to keep doing warm-ups? Does he want to keep doing team meetings? Is he okay to do rehab when he gets injured again? Like, I think that's what it comes... And if he does, then... Yeah, I don't think... I think if Buddy stays at the Swans, he's going to play a part in that club for the next 20 years, long after he's retired from playing. So I don't think the actual dollar figure for the 1 year or two extra years of playing will be the biggest thing to him, because he'll make it up as coach, assistant coach, whatever he wants to do with the club, mentor, consultant. But I think it'll come down to, has Buddy still got that drive at 36 to want to do all the one percenters that we all get sick of at some stage?
Give us a call, 1353 53. Keep the text coming, 0419 767 272. Gee, I tell you what, Freddie's under the pump, according to the text this morning. Boys, Fittler needs to concentrate on picking players in their positions and less on earthing, says Nev from Maitland. Hey, fellas, this New South Wales team seems a lot better balanced. Our bench packs a lot of punch. If we can get across the advantage line quicker than we did in Game 1, Queensland won't be able to hang with us, says Jaden from Brisbane. Go the Blues.
Yeah, see, I'm with Jaden here. Is it more the fact that we've made the changes, or is it more about they don't like the team?
I think it's the first one, Loz. I think it's the changes for sure. Because, like I said the other day, I feel like if Freddie thinks this team's a better team, I think that's completely cool to make the changes he has. But I think he's just got to – he probably could have owned that a little bit more in his speaking with the media. Like, he probably could have – because I don't feel like he's come out and said, you know what, we made some mistakes, or we picked the wrong players. You know, even the the Dragons player we spoke about. Even the Sims comment, like, you know, we're looking to the future. Man, you're not looking to the future in game two when it's a must win. You know, I just think if he come out and said, yeah, we got it wrong in the first game, and that's why we've made so many changes, because now we feel like we've got it right. I think the fans can take that a lot easier. But at the moment, we feel like, hang on, we've been told we haven't done anything wrong, apart from the ref might have played a big part in us losing.
Yeah.
We did only lose by 6, not 40.
Yeah, and we did have a chance seven, to win.
Yeah, and seven changes. Well, again, I know nothing about footy, but 7 changes in cricket? Oh, my God. That's a lot of changes.
Yeah.
And I know it's 17, not 11, but 7 changes, you tell me, is that a lot?
Yeah.
Seems like a lot.
Well, yeah, it's a lot to the squad. But,
yeah.
I get back to me. I think it's a brave call because he'll live and die by it. But
yeah,
at it, for me personally, I see this as a more balanced squad than what it was in game one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then that's the other thing. At the end, like, we're got to go give Freddie that chance as well. When New South Wales win, especially me, I've been, you know, I've made my views pretty clear. But if New South Wales win, I need to be one of the first. Mate, you know what? Courageous. Well done, Freddie. Awesome decisions to have the courage to do that, because you know, making that many changes, people are going to be critical.
Well, as Nell says here on the text line, hey boys, so your thoughts on Freddie making 7 changes as he did it in game 2 in 2019, heading into the match in Perth.
There you
we
go.
We won 38-6. We had
there
a big inclusion in that game.
I think we had
Tom Trbojevic, who scored a hat-trick.
I think Jimmy Maloney came back in that. I think we had a couple of experienced big-game players come back. But, we did. You know, we turned it around, and the thing in this game is that New South Wales, they know the series is on the line. They know the series is on the line. If Queensland are off 1% and they haven't got that hunger and desire that they had in game one, then New South Wales will get them, and that's why game two is always hard if you've won game one, because you only have to be off a touch. You know the other mob, they know it's all on the line. And as much as you try and drill the boys about it, in the back of their mind, they always have that, oh, we've still got that game up in Queensland. We've still got that one up our sleeve if we lose. Yeah. Whereas New South Wales, they know it's do or die.
It's
all over if we lose.
We have Shane. G'day, Shane.
Bitter boys, how are you today?
Shane, very well, thanks, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, going good. I want to talk about Joey's suggestion he made on the footy show Sunday about having a Pacifica team. But just before that, if you got Danny Widler and Paul Kent really fit in MMA for 6 months and put him in a cage, who would win?
I think Kenny was a boxer. I don't know Denny's background.
Danny's a bit bigger.
Denny's bigger, yeah.
I've seen Denny boxing at a gym before, a gym I used to train
we
at.
Might ask, well, we've got Denny online.
Don't worry about D. Widler. D. Widler will hold his own. Don't worry about that.
Well, we might ask Denny later on.
He got a bit of red fire in him, D. Widler.
Mate, I'll tell you what, they're always tough, the red fellas.
don't worry about that.
Never take a backward step.
Yeah. Don't worry about Denny.
It'd be interesting. A lot of fans would like to see it happen. Boys, I watched the footy show on Sunday. I haven't watched it for a while. And Joey came up with this idea. Now, I know with all the interest with the Pacific Test this weekend, it's going to be a great time, and New Zealand will be mad or rock the joint. But he made this insane idea that we should have a Pacifica team as the 18th side. and it's based in Wellington, and they play some games in Samoa, some in Tonga, and some in Fiji. Now, Joey, it ain't going to work because there's a thing called COVID, and the minute we get another rash of COVID, they close down Tonga, Samoa, and Fiji even quicker than New Zealand. So instead of 30 players for the Warriors over here, we'll have 60 players stuck here for 2 years. Mm. It's not going to work. The only thing that'll work is an NRL Country Bears team that's sponsored by the North Sydney Bears that plays all over the New South Wales country area. All the young kids can come and have a run with the Bears, and the Bears said they'll back it, and they said there's $100 million in sponsorship. And guess what? Perrottet's not going to close down the borders. There's our 18th team.
Look, I like the Bears as 18th team. I'm unsure of how it would work, but I reckon there's an opportunity to play, you know, four or five games at North Sydney Oval. And you make a good point. Take games around the country. If you wanted to, you could nearly even take a game to PNG or take a game to Samoa or Tonga if they wanted to. But I'd be a big supporter of taking the game to New South Wales venues. I think it'd have strong support. But again, financially, it'd have to add up.
And that's going to be the problem with the Pacifica, any sort of Pacifica team. Commercially, it's going to be challenging.
You'd need a lot of funding from the government.
Huge amounts.
You'd need a lot of funding. Mm. That's the only issue there. But you never say never, but you know, I've heard people in the past, and I've been one of them. When you go to PNG, for instance, mate, they are rugby league mad. You turn up, if they know someone is on that plane that rocks into Port Moresby that's played NRL, or has played State of Origin, mate, there'll be hundreds of people there. If it was someone like a Mal Meninga getting off the plane, I'm telling you, he's like a rock star. There'd be 5,000 people there. You turn up as a team, an Australian rugby league team, there's 10 or 20,000 people there at the airport. And they just line the streets, they follow you to your hotel, and then they just wait out the front of the hotel, and they just want a glimpse of you, get a photo of you. It's unbelievable if you've never been there.
Well, guess who's on a billboard at the moment as he gets to the airport in PNG? So I saw a story last week about it.
Oh. Mal?
Justin Ollam.
Justin Ollam. Well, there you go. Mm. And why wouldn't he be? Mm. He's a national hero, national treasure up there in PNG. The success of the Melbourne Storm, his profile would have grown. And the fact that they love their own, and if he went back there, it's hard to describe when you go to PNG. And Clarkie knows all about it because when he goes to India, that'd be exactly the same. They're just a rugby league nation who just absolutely idolise anyone that's played. And all they want to do is touch you. They just want to touch you, get a photo with you. And they just can't believe you're in their country.
By the way, is the precursor for Origin. Some of these test matches, this New Zealand Tonga test on Saturday is going to be an absolute humdinger when you look at those two squads. This Tonga side, Loz, mm-hmm. How about their forward pack? Taumalolo.
Have they named who's starting?
No, they haven't. They've still just got the squads. Right. Taumalolo, Fanua Blake, Tevita Pengai, Ola Katau, Colin Matangi. Are you going to have, apparently Katoni Staggs is going to play 5-8 mm-hmm. alongside Talatau and Moan. New Zealand.
I love the cultural challenges before the game. That's what I love. And there'll be a sea of red. They will outnumber the Kiwis.
Because South Auckland, heaps. It's a huge lot of Tongan community.
A lot of Tonga. It's the first time rugby league's been back there for a long time.
Well, it's August 30, 2019 was the last rugby league game.
2019? Was that
that
game?
The last time the Warriors played. And then it was a few weeks before that they had a test match between New Zealand and Tonga.
Was it the game where Australia played Tonga when there was a sea of red and they started singing, the Tongan supporters?
Yeah, I think that
was... Or was that when they played New Zealand? No, whatever game it was, our listeners would be able to tell us, that was one of the best atmospheres I've ever seen. It was unbelievable. I'm pretty sure it was the day they beat Australia.
Not sure where... Was that game? Yeah, that game was in Auckland
Auckland. And there was a sea of red and they started singing. So I'm unsure of whether it was in the World Cup or whether it was that game when they played Australia, but that particular moment in time, I remember, and it was just unbelievable to see it on TV, and you could hear the singing, and they were, you know, in song, and it was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I think that was at Eden Park, that game, actually.
You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was. It was at Eden Park. That was November 2019. Thanks, by the way, Shane, as always. G'day, Doug.
G'day, mate. How are you, Laurie and all?
Yeah, good, thanks. Doug, how are you, mate?
Not too bad, thanks.
That's the way.
I was going to talk about Charlie Staines. Might be going to the West Tigers, so I hear on the grapevine.
He's been linked to a few clubs. Unfortunately for Charlie, you know, I think he's a really good player, but he has stuck behind Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
And just can't get a run at the moment. So
Taylor May's emerged.
And Taylor May has emerged as well. But I think Charlie's more of a fullback than he is a winger.
Yeah.
But I think he'll... Well, there'll be an opportunity at another club for him. Put it that way, Doug.
Yeah. And Dylan Edwards should be in the Origin match too.
Poor geez, he's playing well, isn't he? The only issue you have is James Tedesco's, you know, one of the... top five players in the game. So, me personally, I couldn't find a position for Dylan over James. But I'll tell you what, if something ever happened to him, you'd throw him straight in.
Yeah, I reckon should drop James Konecka, just put Dylan Edwards in.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's my big call.
Yeah. No, well, I'll tell you what, there'd be some people out there that would agree with you, Doug. And in particular, you know, the way he's playing at Penrith. But then does it... You know, then does it make it Penrith rather than New South Wales? I know you shouldn't take into account what side they're playing for, but then you've got sort of eight or nine players in it for Penrith in the team.
They never lie down, but Penrith, just keep going.
Well, they're a good side. But Clarkie mentioned it earlier, and this is the thing that I'd be sort of thinking of too if I'm in that Queensland side. You know, you sit back and you look at it and you go, ooh, geez, this looks like Penrith. We know what Penrith do.
Yeah.
This is no rip side. That's what Queensland would be looking at, I'd reckon.
Good on you, Doug. Thanks for the call. By the way, Charlie Staines named in the Samoa squad to play the Cook Islands at Campbelltown on Saturday as well. Taylor May's in that team. Isaac Tago, Spencer Lenu, Panthers everywhere. They're playing everywhere this weekend. Not a week off for that club.
You know the other thing? In this, these clubs, and in particular teams like Penrith and Melbourne Storm, need to be congratulated because they don't put their foot down and stop a lot of these players from playing.
Yeah,
and the only way international football will grow, and we can talk about the timing of it, whether it should be in the middle of the season or at the end of the season, but by allowing these players to go and play, they know they're at risk of getting injured, all right, and that could hurt their season, but they do not stop them. They encourage them, and I can only talk for you know, guys like Ricky and Ricky Stewart and Craig Bellamy, who I know very well, that they encourage their players. They want their players to play rep football. They're not holding them back. They're not trying to rule them out. They don't get in their ear and try and persuade them not to play. They're encouraging them to go and play because they know it will help them and they know how important playing for their country is.
I just think it works perfectly this weekend. I know others completely disagree. But well, we still want to watch footy this weekend. That New Zealand Tonga game, that's must watch on Saturday afternoon.
Well, I don't mind it either, Mido, to be honest with you. My issue has been and always will be is that you make a choice of who you want to play for. And then it's easy. If you want to play for Tonga, you want to play for Samoa, that's fine. Good luck to you. And I think that's great. And I loved what Taumalolo and Andrew Fifita did. I thought that was sensational. And it put representative football, but more importantly, national football on the agenda. And we all spoke about international football, not national football. And then you started to get other people wanting to do it. All right. My big issue is you don't have a choice whether you want to play State of Origin or not. If you play State of Origin, you're playing for Australia. And if you miss selection for State of Origin in a World Cup year, well, then you can go and play in a World Cup. For a Tonga, Samoa, or a Fiji. But right now, you don't have a choice about, oh, well, I'll play game one or two for New South Wales and then I'll go and play a test match for Tonga. That doesn't work like that in my mind.
We're not putting on weight, Loz. We're okay.
I'm depressed.
What's happened?
We're just having a bit of a moment in here about how much we're eating, Clarky.
Oh, but it's winter. Like, it's impossible not to eat.
I'm feeling my guts again, pup. Yeah. You know how I grab my stomach.
I'm with you a bit at the moment. I feel like I'm training hard, but I'm just smashing my food. And I'm craving carbohydrates as well.
Do you reckon you eat more in winter?
100%.
Definitely. Definitely. Discipline goes out the window.
Oh, you should have saw me yesterday. You know that... you know that... what's it called? The dark chocolate. The
black
chocolate.
The old gold.
Oh, I saw it in a servo.
No, but chocolate.
I couldn't resist it.
Play
so
on.
I bought the block. And I'm driving over to the eastern suburbs. I went and saw a mate of mine. And by the time I got there, I'd eaten
half
the whole
block
lot.
Gone. Oh, and all gone.
It's good.
All gone.
And do you kid yourself by going, this is
dark chocolate's
good.
Yes, good for exactly. Yeah. Well, that's why I bought it. The dark chocolate.
Dear.
It's fine. Eating the whole block, that's fine too. Anyway, we've got Rod on the line. Morning, Rod.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Mate, going all right. What's doing?
How's that Mario bloke, right? I ring up the phone and he goes, I said, hello, how's it going?
Yeah, good to have him here.
I go, it's Rod from there, and he goes, mate, never heard of you. Who are you? I said, mate, I've been ringing the show for 20 years, and he goes, mate, never heard of you. And then I realised it was him. and I went, you got me good.
He's back, Mario.
Laurie, ever heard of the Danuk Dance Company down here? We lost a brother yesterday. Uncle Cecil McLeod passed. Didn't actually ever met him, but he's gone after the dream time.
Oh, that's no good, mate.
Rest in peace, my brother.
Yes, yes.
Anyway, I'm just on the Origin. All these people who want to say it's not a better team, you just got to go back to last year, and then every time Cleary played at Penrith, and he was under pressure, he passed the ball to the boot the crap out of the thing. Burton.
Mm.
Now, number two, you watch that game on Friday night, Manly Cowboys. Look at Miami's ruck. Look where most of North Queensland tries came. Why? Why is that? Turbo was there cleaning the ruck up. This is a good team. It'll win easily. They win by 24+. See you, man.
See you, Rod. 20, I'd like to be that confident.
24+. I'll tell you what. I'm starting to get confident about Sunday night. I'm even thinking about having a proper bet.
Well, I'm more confident this game than I was in game one. There you
I'm
go.
Not. I've gone the other
You've
way.
You've gone the other way.
Mate, and again, I can't compare the teams because I haven't got the knowledge to, you know, like you look at the squad's laws and you can go, okay, you can see we've got cover for this, cover for that, know the game so well. I haven't got that vision or that knowledge, so I don't know if the team selected for the first game is better than this team, but I worry about just being in a sporting team, competing at the highest level, and so many changes, just that feeling of that 1% of self-doubt around, man, if I make one error, that's it. I'm gone. You know, I don't get a crack in that third game or my career could be over. Or you know, just that tiny bit of self-doubt or hesitation. To me, when you're playing your best, that doesn't exist. And I just worry, and I hope I'm 100% wrong. I hope I'm just looking at it from from me being in a cricket team with zero knowledge of playing State of Origin. But I just worry Queensland at the moment run out onto that field with zero fear. Where New South Wales, mate, they run out with a completely different team.
Now at 6:30, Loz's BSB countdown will be after the news with JR. Coming up this morning, Adam Pengilly, just before 7 o'clock. After 7 o'clock, well, 19 Origins for New South Wales. Balmain great Benny Elias will join us and we'll ask him about the crossbar in the 1989 Grand Final as well. Suliasi Vunivalu coming up later this morning, and he has re-signed with Australian Rugby heading towards the World Cup next year and will hopefully make his test debut in the coming weeks as well. The Queensland Reds winger, Denny Widelup from Perth, over there in Camp Origin. Well, it happened towards the end of the show yesterday, but Matt Fitzpatrick, the Englishman, won the US Open at Brookline. He won by one shot from American Will Zalatoris, who just missed a putt from about 14, 15 feet, which would have sent it to a playoff. So Fitzpatrick's the first Englishman to win a major since 2016, when Denny Willett won the Masters at Augusta. By the way, Greg Norman yesterday, he made some comments. They're set to apply the Saudi-backed LIV Tour. They're set to apply to be eligible for official world golf ranking points. So if they get that, then they absolutely get legitimacy. I mean, they've got the trillions of dollars.
Legitimacy, it's there already. It's called cash.
If you get the rankings points, then you just then the defections will significantly increase if it's not going to already pup.
Yeah, they're getting it. It's a matter of time. It's the same. Like I said, I feel like this is exactly how the IPL started. First 2 years, no one wanted it. Didn't want to make it a big thing. Didn't want to make room in the calendar for players to go and play. You know, countries tried to stop their big fish from going over. The money convinced the country, let alone the individual player. The Australia Cricket Australia had no choice. They could not beat it. Mm. They could not compete with it. The ICC, they could not beat it. They had to make room in the schedule for every single country to be available.
My favourite part about the IPL at the time, Clarkie, and I've said this to you before, I remember there was a huge debate about the schedule and how packed it was and how the players needed a break.
How tired were we?
You've never seen that argument disappear quicker than when the IPL came in.
I used to love it. I used to love when we'd go and have a meeting with the Players Association and the players would still say, nah, we're playing too much cricket, we're away from home too much. But and then we said, okay, individually, it's then up to the player to work out if he wants to go and play IPL. Every player was like, yeah, I'm going. Hang on a second. You can't come out and say there's too much international cricket, but you're okay to go and play IPL. Yeah. What's the difference?
I remember that well. Anyway, fair enough. I know what I'd be doing.
Yeah, exactly right.
JR, good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, guys, and good morning to all of our listeners. Boys, just off the back of your conversation before the news where you're all talking about needing to lose weight, you all just need to come and join me in some open water swimming because I was saying to you guys, I am desperately trying to put on weight in the lead up to my English Channel swim. So much so, I even had a brownie after my lunch yesterday just to try and get some extra body fat onto me. I've never been told so much in my life that I don't have enough body fat. So all come and join me because the weight just drops off you when you're swimming out in the icy cold ocean.
I know, but you're swimming, what, 20K a day or something like that?
8 hour swims on a Saturday. And the weight just falls off. So come and do some of that.
I just couldn't think. I was going to say couldn't think of anything worse. I probably could, but it just doesn't excite me.
No, 8 hours
in the water.
I'd rather run 20Ks.
Even when I go for a swim, I don't spend that long in the ocean. Like, you're in and out. I just couldn't spend that much time in there. You've got great mental strength, JR.
It's interesting, though, Loz, because the time does go fast. Like, when you start the morning.
What, 8 hours?
It does. Like, when I start and it's 5:30 and you think, okay, well, I'm going to be swimming now until 1:30 this afternoon. But it actually goes really quickly. You just go off into your own world. You know, you're singing. I think about my stroke. And the next thing, it's time to get out.
Tell you what I want you to do. You possibly can't, but I'd love to you to document every thought that came into your mind over that 8 hour period.
Can't go on radio. And you can't talk about your husband like that in that way, Jamie.
You can't talk about us like that either.
And you certainly can't talk about us like that.
It's so funny because I can tell you every single one of you, as well as Dave, has also come into my thoughts at some point during my swim. Actually, so much so, Jared was even in my dreams last night.
Oh, you tell more, are... JR.
Don't worry. Jamie, that happens regularly. That happens regularly for Mido. He's in a lot of people's dreams.
Well, for Mido, nothing scandalous. It was just an on-air chat, but we were in moving cars and Brad Davidson was eating a peanut butter sandwich next to me and Jared and I were laughing about Davo eating a sandwich on air.
Did you know I read this yesterday?
Doing some weird stuff to your mind, Jamie.
Isn't it?
On average, how many dreams do you reckon you have a night?
Yeah, it's hundreds, isn't it?
I can't remember the last time I had a dream. There you go.
And so it's only 3 to 6.
Oh, right. Oh. Okay.
And they last between 5 to 20 minutes.
I don't remember the last time I had a dream.
There you go.
Okay.
I read that yesterday.
And how do they know?
Interesting.
Well, they must.
You get set up.
Ask people.
But I think you get set. You can go into those sleep centers where you have the sensors on your brain. And they can monitor all of that. When you go into the deep sleep is when you dream. Well, off this riveting conversation, guys. let's just move on here. The boys in the Collingwood world, it is just going from bad to worse. So we'll start off with Jordan Dugowie just because we mentioned him yesterday. Now, Collingwood have reportedly withdrawn their contract offer for him. This is off the back of that social media video of him partying in Bali. The contract was worth $800,000 per season for 2 years with an option for a third. He is off contract at the end of this season and apparently St Kilda are circling. But what they have said is Collingwood don't necessarily not want to re-sign him, but his value value has just lowered off the back of these on-field back-to-back dramas following New York and then now Bali. But then today, it's just bad timing for Collingwood. Two of their young stars, Isaac Quaynor and Jack Ginnivan, are in a TikTok video. And this is apparently a viral video that's now going around with a game on TikTok where you rate women out of 10. So these two boys are discussing women's features and then laughing about them, rating women, saying that they're a 10 but with manky teeth. And then Jack will say, nah, a 4. So they're laughing. The video has since been deleted. So just not a very good look for Collingwood. They are just in the press for all the wrong reasons.
So they posted that themselves, did they?
They did, yes, on TikTok. And they were just going along with a current viral game that is just rating women out of 10. And they stupidly, it looks like they're lying on a bed. Maybe they're in a hotel or something. And they're just there together having banter about women's appearance and rating them off the back of what they think.
So is that after a night out? Or is it, you know how you say like a TikTok viral video? Does that mean like a lot of people are doing it?
Yes. So it's apparently a new game.
What is it,
game?
A game or something?
Well, you know how sometimes they do those challenges on TikTok and everyone will go be planking in weird positions or doing crazy things? So this is apparently another one of those TikTok trends that's now taken off where it's just rating women. So Isaac and Jack have jumped on board and posted it to their account. And then, of course, deleted it once, I guess, it was picked up by the media.
Mobile phones.
Silly.
Just
silly,
stupid,
silly.
Isn't it?
Mobile phones, Clay. Many times.
Yeah, but that's their own fault.
Anyway.
That's just stupid.
Jordan DeGoey, this is going to be fascinating to watch because there could be a punishment coming his way today, but still so many people are saying, well, what's he actually done wrong? Because the club gave him permission to be in Bali. So that's going to be interesting to see how the club treats him.
Yeah.
As far as the punishment's concerned.
And
they
you're
gave
right,
him permission.
Because you can't, he hasn't, this is what we were saying yesterday, like he hasn't necessarily done anything wrong. I put him as my villain because he's just an idiot that you go and you've had charges dropped because of, you know, sexual assault allegations over in New York. And then it just looks bad that you're then partying in Bali. But the club gave him permission and it was one of his friends that posted that video onto social media of him trying to rip the top off a woman who was lying on a bar and he's sticking his rude finger up. So whether he gets punished because of that behaviour, but he was given approval to go over to Bali by Collingwood.
Mm. All right, Lozza, the keys to Origin 2. How do New South Wales improve? What have you got for us?
Well, I think listening to New South Wales, they certainly need to tighten up their defence in the middle of the ruck. So Jake Trbojevic will help that out. We all know Jake is a wonderful defender and that is a big part of his game, the ability to be clean with his tackling technique. So what they'll be speaking about this week is their first up contact, which is getting off their line with good line speed, up the ante with that. Give them no peace. They need to swarm. They need to make good contact. They need to have someone around the ball until they go to the ground. Just not assume that the tackle is complete. Start to retreat in the defensive line and then allow a late offload from a Papali'i or a Lindsay Collins or a Fasua Mawali or a Carrigan for that matter. So they need to just stay up and make sure that they've got numbers in the tackle. They need a man going in at the legs to take him to ground. Don't allow them just to stand in the tackle. And they've got to be able to peel off a lot better than probably what they did in game one. So they've really got to test the patience of the referee. See what he's going to allow. And I'm sure the referee will blow early penalties because he's heard all this talk about, you know, both teams trying to win the ruck. But you've just got to keep testing him. That's what Origin's about. You've got to keep testing the patience. If you get a couple of penalties against you, you can't allow that to scare you off. Because you've got to continually test. You've got to continually. And you can do that if your ability with your first up contact is strong. You're not bouncing off tackles. You're hitting, you're sticking, arm around the ball, wrap the ball up, take him to the ground, have good line speed, you swarm. And if they can do that, that gives them a better chance to defend guys like Harry Grant coming off the interchange bench, but also Ben Hunt. We spoke about Munster in the first game. Like, it just got to defend his run. That's what you're going to be thinking with Munster. He'll pop up anywhere on the field. You've just got to be thinking about his run, collapse on him, and if he wants to throw a long ball, we'll take your chances of defending the long pass and being able to adjust with your defensive line and your system and move across to where the threat may be when he passes. But when he's got the ball, he's the threat. You know, you've got to make sure that you keep your spacing right. But if he goes, you just collapse in and around him. You know, look at his support play, but look at him first and foremost. Don't let him and give him the same amount of room that we did in game one. They scored two tries in game one off short side plays. So our short side defence needs working on. So when I went back and had a look, they were, the way I've always been taught, short side. So you've got your second marker needs to give himself a bit of depth. All right. So you're working the space between where the play the ball is and the sideline. So you've got to use your sideline as a defender. So your defence on the short side, they don't need to move forward. You can just sort of hang a touch. But the big key is the second marker, give himself a bit of depth and close the space really hard between where the play the ball is and where the A defender on the short side is. And you need to be working inside out. So you know, they need to come up with a call, whatever it may be. It could be, I don't know, red. But once you hear red, you know you are urgently needed on a short side. So you're pushing from the inside out. So you can be a little bit more compressed. Use the sideline as a defender and work hard pushing the attack towards the sideline. What happened in game two, at times we jammed on a short side when we had space behind us. I didn't see why we needed to do that. You know, once you move forward, you're allowing the attacking player to dictate to you whether it's a cutout ball, whether it's a short pass, whatever it may be. What you need to be doing is just herding them towards the sideline, just herding them towards the sideline. And then if they take that risk down a short side, you tackle them there on a sideline, you can really rev up on the next play.
And that A defender's really got to be talking to his marker.
So and all those blokes need to be talking. Mm. So they need to be calling, as a game, whatever the call may be, it might be red. But once you hear that call, if you're second marker, you've given yourself a bit of depth, you're tying up that space between A and where the play the ball is, and you're herding them towards the sideline. You don't have to go forward. You don't have to jam. The only time you're doing that is if you're dead set on your line and you've got no space behind you to work with. But they got two tries down short side plays, so that's an area that they need to fix. Support play, again, with our speed of the ruck. If you can average in an Origin game 100, say 120 genuine supports, you know, genuinely push up with the ball carrier, that will help generate ruck speed. And if they generate ruck speed, you've got Coruscant getting his hands on the footy. Cookie getting his hands on the footy. Cookie can run, but Coruscant can get over the advantage line, bring Cleary onto the football, bring Yo onto the football. And when you're going at a defence that's retreating, it's so much easier to attack. Things seem a lot more clearer. It's calmer because you're playing on the front foot, and it opens itself up to make better decisions, rather than the opposition really attacking you and putting you under pressure. So think fast when you've got the football. Think over the advantage line and think about pushing up in support to generate good ruck speed. And I think our bench, you know, you talk about bench in game one, you think Queensland. All those guys from Queensland came on and made a difference, and that's what we need to do. You've got to up the tempo. So when they come onto the field after 20 minutes, you know, guys like Crichton, Talakai, Paulo, whenever they're used, Cookie, whenever he's used, they're going to make a point of difference and they're going to up the tempo of the game. And that's what Queensland did to us. Our reserves came on. They didn't have the same impact. Theirs come on and really overtook where New South Wales were. You know, New South Wales were going very well and then their bench came on and just exploded. So that's what we need off our bench on Sunday night. But, you know, they're some of the things that they talk about. Obviously, kicking options. You know, kicking is so important. They need to, you know, make sure that Cleary's got an option, whether it be Coruscant maybe kicking once or twice a half, Burton getting in at times kicking, you know, a two-pass kick. Just variety in their kicking game is vital, and it will be. And it'll be so important for New South Wales to work on that this week. But it can help if they're moving forward. If they're moving forward and they're not under as much pressure as they were in game one, Cleary's kicking game will be spot on. Burton will be able to help him out. Jerome Luai will do one. you know, here and there. But I think their kicking game will be helped if our support play is a big focus. Because if you support, earn a quick play of the ball, kicking on the front foot, Cleary has the best kicking game of anyone in this team in terms of placement and his ability to build pressure. So if they can just work on those areas, I think there'll be a massive improvement.
Adam Pengilly, good morning.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys. You must have had a CCTV camera in my lounge room last night. Because guess what happened at 9:30 when I was watching TV? Went to the pantry and what did I find?
Chocolate.
Old gold.
Old
gold. Old gold. I'll tell you what, Adam. I found it at the servo and I paid for my petrol. And then as I was walking out, I went, will I or won't I? And then I went one step past it and then I came back, grabbed it, paid for it. And then I was driving to the east. And I ate the whole lot.
Demolished it in the car.
Yeah.
What's an acceptable amount just for a little snack at night time after dinner?
No, the whole lot. If you crack it open, you got to do the whole lot.
Okay. No, I didn't do the whole lot last night.
Yeah, then you don't feel bad one bit.
Yeah, okay.
When you were eating it, did you think, well, at least it's dark chocolate. It's better than normal chocolate.
I'm thinking a lot. I'm thinking, this is dark chocolate. This is okay for me. I can do this. This is okay.
Could be much worse.
The
put it that way.
We kid ourselves.
Diet Unreal. Coke, mate. Diet Coke.
Okay, what are we talking about? The Everest, the Tab Everest, it's a year-round conversation. Now, who's in the mix for a slot at the moment?
Yeah, it looks like Lost and Running. Jared is getting close to finalising a deal with Connections for him to run in the race, which will mean the top four from last year's race will be back to running the Everest this year. It's this time of year when we sort of have a few of these slot holders who tend to jump early. Nature Strip's locked in, Eduardo's locked in, Masked Crusader's locked in, and it looks like that Lost and Running will complete that first four from last year. So John O'Shea and Connections in the final stages of nutting out that deal, and he'll have his whole campaign sort of planned around the Everest. So I'd imagine he'll probably go in the race first up, maybe second up, given he's a really good horse on the fresh side. So we'll wait and see how that plays out. But this field, even though, what are we, mid-June are we at the moment, sort of starting to take shape a little bit.
What's the go with Alligator Blood, mate? What's happening with him?
Lozzo. I saw these stories sort of pop up in the last 24 hours. It's really disappointing. We've seen up there in Queensland, he won the Stradbroke Handicap. Fantastic story. I thought he was gone. He's come back and won a big group one. Obviously, Alan Andres, his owner, has had a lot of difficulty and heartache in the last week or so with his wife passing away shortly after the Stradbroke Handicap. But Racing Victoria officials have now confirmed that they're looking at potentially banning the horse from racing in Melbourne throughout the Spring Carnival following the lead in New South Wales. Given the potential financial, I suppose, status of Alan and a lot of his companies associated with the horse, so we'll wait and see how this plays out. But if he does get banned from Victoria, on top of the ban from New South Wales, well, what's left for him? I suppose he's just target the Magic Millions in summer because he is Magic Millions eligible up there in Queensland. Can he race anywhere else apart from Queensland? I don't know, but I'm sure we'll hear more about this in the next week or two.
Now, James McDonald, Clarkie's neighbour, what's he up to after Royal Ascot?
Clark, have you seen his itinerary for where he's travelling in Europe after Royal Ascot?
I haven't, but I can only imagine. Whatever he's doing, he deserves to do.
He's
been on fire.
Greek islands, he's travelling everywhere in Europe.
Good on him.
Nice little break after a big carnival at Royal Ascot. And he earned some rave reviews, didn't he, from some of the commentators over there in the UK, who probably don't get to see him, obviously, nowhere near as much of what we can see him on a week-in, week-out basis down here in Australia. Some of them are saying he's the best jockey in the world at the moment. So he's going to take a little break with his partner, Caitlin Mallion. They're expecting their first child a little bit later this year. They'll do some travelling throughout Europe. Listen, Jared, he's got a massive lead in the Sydney Jockeys Premiership. Not going to be much of an issue at the moment. I wouldn't say that's the thing that primarily motivates James these days. But he's got a 37-win lead, I think, from Hughie Bowman at the moment. So he can sit out pretty much for the next 6 weeks, the rest of the season, if he wanted to. And he's still going to win that Premiership. So good on him. I'm a big believer in a lot of these jockeys need to take more breaks. They push themselves pretty much year-round. It's 24-7. They rarely take a week off throughout the course of the year. So I suppose James is in a bit of a different boat. He's riding for Sydney's leading trainer, number one jockey in Australia. He's probably going to afford to take a bit more time off and still command those rides when he comes back. But I think more of these jockeys should follow his suit and take a bit of time off in winter and summer when they can.
Yeah. Now, what did you make of the 17s named yesterday for Origin? Particularly the talking point is the 9 jersey and the 14 jersey at New South Wales with Apic Coruscant to start.
Yeah, I don't mind it, Jared. I'm a bit like Loz. The more I think about this team, I think the more confident I'm getting, to be honest. I really like that sort of that combination between Coruscant and Cook coming off the bench. Their middle forwards are going to be so crucial. That's going to be the key to the game once they lost the middle in game one. So they're going to need big games from Payne Haas, Junior Paolo, obviously, and Jake Boyce is going to need to clean up that ruck. But just looking at this team, I'm just starting to feel a little bit more confident as each day goes by. I think Burton's going to be a really important addition for them out wide there. So Listen, I wasn't overly confident about New South Wales in game one. I think I tipped them to win a very close game, and I still thought the Queensland could win the series. But I must admit, I'm starting to sway a little bit and think the New South Wales is a really good chance of levelling the series in Perth. So we'll see how the rest of the week for training plays out. But I don't mind the trains, actually, Jared. I don't mind them at all.
Yeah, I think I'm with you, mate. Have a good day.
See you, boys.